Hey, guy, how are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
I was wondering what will be harder, to install this beautiful exhibition or to speak about it in English?
Yeah, we'll have you will have to excuse me because my English is not
as beautiful as your art.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's start with the art, okay?
Okay.
My art, by the way, is as good as my English. We try to understand, to give a little bit of explanation or a little bit of notes or things to think about while watching this exhibition. So you're welcome just to put your headsets in, just to wander around while you hear us speaking in the next few minutes. First of all, how did you stumble upon Philbet? What brought you to Jerusalem?
I got a very sweet invitation from Itai, which is you.
Yeah.
And it was my first time here. And from the first second, I fell in love with the place because of the scenery, because of the building, because of the people here, because there's something very inviting in this place, in the energy. And I guess the basic brief was, let's turn on the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's
just
what they said.
Light. Yeah,
yeah, because the culture world is dead, actually, and nothing happened for a year or so. And and it was kind of metaphorical brief, let's turn on the light.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, just before we go step by step into the exhibition itself, your relationship with light. Do you consider yourself as a person of light or a person that is more motivated into dark?
I think I in a way, I'm both. Usually I build installations, and the installations are usually very classic sculptures. Let's say 360 sculptures that interfere in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was more about energy, about light, about anti-substance, something that you cannot grip, you cannot hold, because mm-hmm. it's only light.
But this light that you're talking about as an energetic form,
mm-hmm.
you transformed it into a physical thing. I mean, let's walk through this exhibition right now. So the first thing that my eyes can see is a very big glittering neon light, which has the sign of hands on it. Can you explain it a little bit?
Yeah, that's large scale drawings of my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Doing sign language in Arabic and Hebrew.
Okay.
Actually, we wrote Or and Nur, light in Hebrew and the Arabic. And I guess the motivation behind it was to not be able to read it immediately, just to experience something before you get into it.
That's beautiful. So what I experience is a very glittering, a very flashy, a very inviting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I, with my eyes, walk inside the Philbet compound into the space itself, I can see another neon light, which is written there in Hebrew and in Arabic, Choshech.
Right.
Darkness.
I wrote darkness in light.
Yeah, which is beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Metaphorically, the inside is kind of your subconscious in a way. And then it felt okay to write it in language that you can read immediately.
So it's my kind of subconscious, which I may be aware and maybe not aware of. And it's a kind of thing that is hidden a little bit, right? Like this darkness, our culture, we live in a society that wants to hide this darkness. We're ashamed, we're afraid
right.
of our inner darkness.
And that's the reason we decided to put it inside.
And on the other hand, you're flashing out my positivity, my light, my nur, my or. I'm like flashing without. I want to show everybody how a good person I am, how much light I have inside of me. But this installation and this, the way that you established everything together, talks about this tension of the light that I want to brag about and show the whole world.
Right.
And the inner darkness that I want to hide a little bit.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Exactly. I guess that was the motivation behind this composition, let's say. If you think about the building as a canvas, we have the lower part and we have the higher part, and then we have kind of a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
What's more important, what you want to hide, what you want to put behind, and you reveal it step by step by walking alongside the building.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because when I think about it, we couldn't have written darkness, I mean Choshech, without light.
Right.
So it's not only that these two parts are inside of every one of us, but it's also that there is a huge relationship that one cannot really be without the other.
Right. You need this binary kind of one and zero in order to get something started. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point of, I guess, that's the whole point of the installation.
And then when I keep on wandering with my eyes, I cannot miss this huge rhino that is just like sitting there or sleeping there or might be dead.
Might be dead.
Yeah, on the floor. What's the thing with rhinos?
The reason the rhino's here, I guess, is just because I needed some kind of contradiction again between energy, between the wave and the particle, mm-hmm. and the substance. Mm-hmm. So it's the first priority for me was to put some kind of a huge material, piece of substance, something that that you can bounce through when you try to walk in the space, kind of interference. And the weight is very important because everything is almost, you cannot grip anything here. Mm-hmm. Everything is just about energy in a way. And then you have this substance, this huge piece of material. First, it's just material. And then it reveals itself and you can see that the image is a rhino. The rhino is a long story that goes with me many years back. And it's kind of a self-portrait for me.
Why is it a self-portrait? Do you consider, or have you considered yourself as a rhino? Is there like something?
It's a long story about my nickname. My friends used to call me Rhino till these days. And it was always about, let's call the rhino to fix something. Let's call the rhino to hold something. And
because you are a very physical man. Because
I guess it's because of my physicality, probably. But then when I got to art school, I started to investigate a little bit more. And then I learned about the references of rhino. And then I decided to go with this kind of image, which goes with me for many, many years.
But there's still really something very riddle-ish, if I may say, about the rhino. Because on one hand, it's a huge, massive animal. But on the other hand, it's really, really gentle. I mean, we are afraid of rhinos because we were brought up as rhinos being the dark side,
right?
The dangerous, the hazard. Be careful! It's a rhino over here. But the truth is that it's a very, very delicate animal in the savannah.
Right, very. I think it's one of the most delicate animal in the savannah. When I did the studies of the rhino for my first image that I tried to sculpt, I went to the safari and I took a lot of pictures, and then I hang out with this guy that work with them, and he told me all these wonderful things about these. I fell in love. I had a late crush on this on this animal, and now I live very, very peacefully with the idea of being a rhino. So the rhino again contains this tension of something very, very sensitive. On the other hand, can be very violent and very aggressive. Mm-hmm.
So you consider yourself as a person who, on one hand, which is very, very sensitive, and on the other hand, can be very aggressive?
Who's not, Itai?
Yeah.
I guess that's the big story of all of us. We all contain this tension of being very sensitive in a way and can become an animal in seconds. It just depends on the situation. Am I right?
You're totally right. And when I listen to you, I guess also this will happen to our listeners as well. I had flashbacks of moments in my life that I was very, very, very angry and very vicious and very, but I'm a very cultural person, you know.
Right.
I'm from the art field, so I'm very polite about it.
Right.
But the truth is that I can be, and I think we all can be, really, really dark and really lightish at the same time.
Right. Yeah. And we're all afraid of this side.
Yeah.
But that's the sides of, that's the side of all the magic happens in these places. If you allow yourself to walk this path in a way.
That's where the magic happens.
That's where the magic happens.
Yeah. So if I continue with the exhibition and my eyes go left, I can see another lead sign that has all kinds of sentences in Hebrew, in Arabic, and in English. Right. Some of them really attracting, and some of them really, I don't know, spiritual in a way. What is that?
I'm not sure there's anything spiritual about them. It's just sentences that all of us think without even thinking about
us thinking about it.
About yeah. So these are all very prosaic sentences and thoughts that we all have that can for a second can touch the infinity, can touch this transcendent moment. Mm-hmm.
So these sentences are where life really happens. I mean, what we're talking about right now about light and darkness, these are like philosophical thoughts about
right.
it. But life happens when you're in the supermarket and your wife calls you to bring more toilet
exactly.
paper.
Exactly. After you pass the cashier already.
Yeah.
That's the usually, right? You have to go back and stand in line. So that's life.
Yeah.
That's a moment of life.
And by the way, there are postcards over here that with all these sentences that you guys can take
really?
Home and send it to whoever you want. And if they don't read the exact language that you just took, that's also interesting.
Right.
Because that's the way of art not being only exhibited in this exhibition, but also passing into the people's houses and mailboxes. Right? So it's like
right.
Free delivery of art all around the world. I want to talk about Bates. Okay, you're a person of the sea. You're a lot in the ocean. I mean,
right.
not in the ocean, the Mediterranean Sea, because you were born here, hey? When we talked about your art a few times, you talked a lot about Pitayon, about Bates.
Right.
Can you explain that a little bit?
I'm not a very sophisticated person when it comes to install objects in the room. I want to be there for you. I want you to stop for a second. I want to have your attention. So I guess I meant that I throw around some baits mm-hmm. that I want you to bite. Either one, it doesn't matter which one. I mean, if it makes you wonder for another second in the space, I got what I needed
wow.
from you. From, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then once I got this bait, which is maybe a bad expression because we don't want to kill our viewers.
Right, we don't want to... I want you to pull some line. I want to pull you in the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually use this strategy of neons, of a very, very strong image that you cannot ignore
mm-hmm.
in order for you to stay for another second and try to think maybe about the complex, about what's going on here. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not understand. You're supposed to feel something. It's supposed to get your attention, and you're supposed to feel something.
Mm.
I guess
this exhibition is a little bit different because it is installed in a way that people do not have to enter the space in order to see it or to go through it. I mean, they can if it's open, but if it's not, they can just come see it any hour, any time.
Right.
How does that affect the way that you approach the art?
That it's a very good question because it's the first time I need to think about sculpture as a painting,
mm.
to think about the pictorial way of looking at the piece. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you're in or out. You're supposed to experience all, but just glancing through these glasses.
Mm.
So it was quite an experience. It was quite an experience for me.
In some way, you're having a 3D, a three-dimension energy into a two-dimension surface.
In a way,
yeah.
In a way.
Last question. Maybe a little bit stupid one. But hey, you've been working with me for many months. You know, you already have enough experience with stupid questions. But if you had like an option to write something on a note and to put it into every one of the spectators' pocket in their jeans or in their jacket, do you know what you would write on it?
Don't be afraid from your dark side.
I think that's a good way to finish this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And thank you, Mekudeshet and Firbet, for hosting us.
Absolutely. Beautiful people.